And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I'm talking about this one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I got several more texts, and then I'm going to jump right into the dipper. So Dave from Madison says, Dave from Madison, Alabama, is there any chance the female XY boxer from Algeria and the female XY boxer from Taiwan, well, they're not females, but anyway, will box against each other in the gay Paris, in the gay Paris for a medal? And if they do, will women count that as a victory for women's sports or concede that it's a misogynist encroachment on women's sports? Dave, that was even hard to read. But that, you know what? I don't have an answer for you. Could they wind up being in the finals together? That would be a hoot, wouldn't it? Can you imagine that? I mean, how twisted is that? How twisted is that logic? How utterly gross is it, the idea that women train for years for a sport that winds up being dominated by men who pretend to be women who then compete against each other for the finals? That's, whatever. No, not whatever. I'm sorry. You know what? I reject that. It's not whatever. It's wrong. It needs to stop. I'm not going to take a whatever. Cameron from Decatur, if you don't vote for Kamala, you're just not Indian. But we don't know, man. What is she today? I don't know. Julie Ruff from Marshall County says, we all know the ladies are going to win today. It's like, whose line is it anyway, where the points don't matter? Okay. She's talking about John's grades. So Emily and Lee from Huntsville are going to be in studio, which means they automatically win, I'm sure. I accept that. Lou Ann from Huntsville says, not sure if you're aware, but an amazing Army strategist is coming to Huntsville August 24th, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Okay. His insights have always been revealing and profound. It's indeed stunning. It has indeed been a stunning summer. Between you and him, please make all this make sense. Thanks, Lou Ann. Yeah, I sometimes enjoy his you know, opinions. Sometimes I found him to be wrong, just to be honest. But he's pretty good. And send me some details if you know where he's speaking. I'd like to know. Jeff from Indiana says, anyone thinking the Biden-Harris administration is doing a good job leading the country, I beseech you, please contact your mental health provider. It's time for a checkup. Jeffro. JD from Hartzell said, I was outraged when I initially saw the news about the Italian boxer. I did some research, and the Algerian is a natural-born woman and has been. No. She is one of the 0.001% that have a genetic abnormality. She is as God made her, never taking hormones. I'm at a loss as to how this should be rightfully handled. JD, it's still a no. It's not. This is a guy. By the way, this is one of two. There's a, I think, Taiwanese boxer who is an absolute male competing in the... Keep in mind, don't lose sight of, well, this one is not the issue. That's not the point here. The real point is the Olympic Committee is prepared to allow men to compete in women's sports if they declare themselves a woman. That's the real crux of the matter. John from Harvest says, is Kamala claiming she's black cultural appropriation? I don't know. It depends. Now, I will say this. She did come down to Atlanta and fake a Southern accent, so I'm calling that cultural appropriation. You ain't no Southerner. Never been to a NASCAR. I'm just event. I mean, just listen. Okay, let me jump on in here real quick. War drums. Let me ask you this. In all objectivity, which I granted, this particular audience is not filled with objectivity because we, generally speaking, are conservatives. I know there's some of you liberals that are out there that listen to the show just to know what's happening. But generally speaking, if we try to step back and be objective, you have to ask, on the world stage, what do bad guys think of us right now? On the world stage, what do the bad guys think of the United States? Are they at all concerned? Do they fear the United States? Do they fear, like, you know, stepping across that line and not being able to come back? I think what we're watching right now is that, I mean, if you look at the mean streets of some of the big cities in the United States, where crime is rampant, where whole neighborhoods don't feel safe at night or even during the day sometimes, you will find soft on crime policies are driving up crime as opposed to helping. What we're watching right now on the world stage is the same thing. When the Biden administration, I'm going to start calling it the Biden-Harris administration. When the Biden-Harris administration goes soft on bad guys, the world takes note and the bad guys of the world ramp up their behavior as opposed to down. Something happened this week that's a classic example, but it leads me down the path of talking about the rest of this dipper. Senator J.D. Vance, I got an article here from Fox, came out 2 days ago. Senator J.D. Vance slammed the fact that the Biden-Harris administration has now declared a plea deal has been made with the remaining September 11th terror attack conspirators. Let's just refresh our 20-plus-year-old memory. 3,000-plus Americans died in the worst attack on U.S. soil on 9/11. And I realize too. I mean, we're back now to a place where there's an entire generation of legal adults, military age adults, who have no frame of reference for 9/11. Has it begun to fade from memory? For some, maybe. For some who don't have the frame of reference or who choose to allow themselves to forget, but there's a lot of us that haven't forgotten. There's a lot of us who had our lives changed by this, me included. But J.D. Vance has slammed the fact that a plea deal is made. Here's his quote. He says, "Just today I heard the Biden-Harris Department of Justice cut a deal with al-Qaeda terrorist Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to avoid the death penalty. Now, as someone who enlisted in the Marines," he says, "after serve after 9/11, that's ridiculous. But it's also not surprising," he said. So yeah, here's the bottom line. You've got Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Walid Mohammed Saleh Mubarak bin Attash, and Mustafa Ahmed Adam al-Hawtawi. All three of them still being held at Gitmo. Why? Is there a reason why they haven't been fed to the fish yet? I mean, is there a reason why? Is there a question about their guilt? If there is, please tell us, because I'm pretty sure there's not. They have now entered a plea deal to avoid the death penalty. People, by the way, people are still dying. Let's let that sink in. There are firefighters and other first responders and cleanup crews who were subjected to an incredible amount of pollutants at Ground Zero who are still to this day dying of cancer because of what they contracted in the wake of 9/11. There are still people who have life-altering injuries and who lost family members. And then there's people like me who wound up deploying and spending years of their life away from their family. And I'm just saying, there is people still dying because of what happened on 9/11. But the Biden-Harris administration decided a plea deal was in order. Why? And why now? What the heck? Is there a point to this? U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, 1819 News, has got a piece. Criticized the Biden administration on Tuesday for failing to address tensions in the Middle East. It's all right. Let's go soft on crime, big picture worldview. Soft on crime makes things worse. He's pointing it out. Senator Tuberville says, in regard to the fact that Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, which I'll talk about in a minute, was assassinated, I believe it'd be by Israel. He says, "Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have brought us to the brink of another war. It's not a mystery how this happened. This administration has flushed Iran with cash, and now Iran is bankrolling terrorism all over the Middle East. Meanwhile, they're turning their backs on our closest ally, Israel. This is why Kamala couldn't bring herself to show up to Prime Minister Netanyahu's congressional address last week. It's because Hamas has become a key constituency for the Democrat Party." And then he goes on to talk about a few things, and ending by saying, "It's the weakest, and I repeat, the weakest administration in the history of this country. It's made us a complete joke in the eyes of the world." He's not wrong. He's not. Strength begets peace. Weakness begets unrest. And if you're going to say that you're worried more about containment and needing plea deals with terrorists, and let's make sure that we, you know, back off and not help too much when Israel's in trouble. Israel is fighting on multiple fronts right now. That's our biggest ally. Well, we're there for Israel, are we? Because when we come back from this next break, I'll tell you that just today, both of our U.S. senators, Tuberville and Britt, joined in with other Republican senators to call on the Biden administration to stop slow-rolling weapons to Israel. Yeah. Weak on the world stage creates more unrest, and the war drums are beating. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower.
So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper war drums, and I'm first of all, I'm setting the stage for where I'm about to go next, all right? We've got to keep in mind that strength on the world stage is not about, you know, whether or not we got, you know, the biggest army. No, it's about policy as much as anything. What are we known for? Are we the soft on crime on the world stage, so to speak? Are we the people who make plea deals with terrorists who kill 3,000 of our people? Come on. But I look at it and I think, okay, what is happening in other places where bad guys who used to feel like they had to stay in check no longer feel like they have to stay in check? And why? And it's because there's no reason to. There's no threat. There's no... You don't do the carrot and the stick if you don't have a stick to go with it, right? Coach Tommy Tuberville puts out... Oh, I said coach. Senator Tommy Tuberville put out a statement today. He and Senator Katie Britt have both joined in with 46 of their Senate colleagues. Pretty much the entire Republican delegation in or caucus in the Senate. And they are basically livid because they're finding out now that there's an arms embargo, basically, against Israel. Not official. They're just slow rolling. The Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration right now is slow rolling everything that Israel is supposed to be getting. Why? Why would you do that? Who's the ally? Let's see. They're fighting Hamas terrorists in Gaza, part of the Palestinian Authority. They're dealing with attacks from Hezbollah and the Houthis, both of which are Iranian proxies, and all of which are our enemies. The Houthis are shooting at us too, right? Our ships. Remember that? Hamas rejoices when, you know, U.S. interests are struck. And Iran? Iran's a bad actor on the world stage in general. But yet, we're going to see a slow roll of weapons to help Israel because, you know, the last thing in the letter, this basically said, your administration must stop accommodating Iran and its terrorist allies now. It's a letter. It's not going to do anything. But what it did was it showed the rest of the public, like me, that they're aware and they're saying something about it. And they can't control the executive branch. But don't be a bit surprised if they don't, if we gain control of the House and the Senate, if you don't start seeing, well, I'll not take it back. We're going to have Trump also, hopefully. But we're going to see a major sea change in all of this. Now, what is happening with Iran? What is happening with Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis? These are Iranian proxies. I mean, Iran is like the big, bad, you know, mafia don, and they got all these, you know, ground troops out there wreaking havoc in people's lives. Well, Iran has just, I mean, Israel has just recently, in the last week, had to strike back against terror attacks in four different areas. They literally have struck back against Hamas in Gaza, ongoing. That's part of the response to the major attacks they suffered in October of last year. They just struck back against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon to their northern border. They just struck back last week against the port city of Sana'a, I believe it is, in Yemen. That's 1,000 miles from their border. And they just took out a Hezbollah commander who, by the way, was in Iran when they took him out. That one sent a signal. And yet, we're over here doing what? Making plea deals with terrorists. Story here from the Washington Examiner. The Israeli military hit several Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. This is State Dateline 2 days ago. As the world awaits to see the extent of Israel's response to the weekend Hezbollah attack that left a dozen children dead. Yeah, keep in mind, They had to strike back against Hezbollah because Hezbollah decided to indiscriminately lob rockets into Israel that hit a soccer field filled with kids and killed a dozen kids and wounded a bunch of others. I mean, there's no military value in that. That's called terror. Israeli Defense Forces, it said, struck approximately 10 Hezbollah terror targets in seven different locations in southern Lebanon. It was not a single strike. It was a coordinated strike, a series of strikes. The targets were things like a weapons storage facility, terrorism infrastructure sites, military structures, and a rocket launcher, according to the IDF. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said that full-blown conflict is not inevitable. Sure, it's not inevitable. It's not inevitable that the sun won't come up tomorrow either. But if they keep on with this soft-on-crime view of world foreign policy, then guess what? Bad guys are going to continue to be emboldened. U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told reporters Monday that, quote, based on the conversations we've been having, we don't believe this needs to result in an escalation to a broader war. There's no reason for that outcome to occur. No, no reason at all. Just 12 children dead. I got a phone call real quick. I'll take it. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, brother?
Hey, listen, peace through strength. That's what we need. Now, also diversity. Diversity. That attempted assassination attempt on our former president. No disrespect to the women, but you could have hired women that were tall as our former president, because what they hired was shorter, and it was a clean shot. When he raised his fist and say fight, that was a clean shot. But if it was a taller person, or could have been a woman or a man in front of, and like I said, they all should be taller than the president, because they need to shield the former president. So it's called diversity. My little nephew wanted to go to the University of Michigan. He had better grades than this other kid, and the other kid got in because he was an Indian. That's ridiculous. And when you're talking life and death and security of everybody in this nation, you need to hire the best. Simple as that. Doesn't matter what gender they are, but they have to be the best. If they're not the best, don't hire them.
I'm with you, man. You are 100% right. And I'll tell you, too, the new acting Secret Service director has not always been spot on. He may be part of the problem, but he is also, at the very least, owning some of it right now and saying that it was a major security lapse overall.
Well, owning it's too late when your former president could have been dead. All right, period.
I'm not arguing that point. You are so right. All right, man. Hey, listen, be safe. We're about to hit the break, but we'll talk to you soon. Wolverine Dan, spot on. Okay, so we're gonna continue this thread. When we get back from the break, the war drums. Do not think for a second that we might not get sucked into something. Because if the broader conflict in the Middle East ramps up, don't forget the Saudis can't stand the Iranians, all right? If there is a threat on world oil, we may have no choice. If there is a threat on our ally, Israel, we may have no choice. And then we've also got the fact that we're sitting here at a divisive moment in our own politics, and Iran is wondering how much it can get done now. And I just got to wonder. Soft on crime makes more crime. Look at the world stage. See the same thing in the big foreign policy way. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios on this Friday. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on the Friday. And I am in dipper number one still, war drums. War drums are beaten, man. And it's not a small thing. So check out where we are right now. I set the stage. If you missed it, I'll give you a quick recap. In the last hour, I set the stage for the fact that the Biden administration right now is currently operating from a position of weakness. On the world stage, the Biden-Harris administration is kind of like watching one of these liberal DAs who go soft on crime, and then what do criminals do? They do more crime. They commit more crime. So when you're soft on the bad guys, the bad guys feel no compunction about doing more. There's no reason for them not to. And so right now on the world stage, you got the soft on crime mentality perpetrating itself on our foreign policy. And the Biden-Harris administration is presiding over some of the greatest level of unrest in the Middle East that we've seen in a generation. Now, there's always something happening in the Middle East. There is. There's always something happening in the Middle East, but not on the scale that we're seeing right now. Keep in mind, and this is not meant to be a political speech as much as it is a reality check. Keep in mind where we were during the Trump administration. Iran had been virtually neutralized. Sanctions had brought them to a point where they could no longer do the things they usually did, funding terrorism around the region. Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis. Who even heard of the Houthis until recently? And you had the Abraham Accords with nations, Arab nations in the Middle East, entering into major peace and trade negotiations as part of the Abraham Accords led by the Trump team. Peace was, we moved the embassy to the capital of Jerusalem, which would have been seen as a major affront by some of the Arab nations. And guess what? They said we couldn't do it, and we did it. And now that Biden's been in charge, operating from a position of weakness, suddenly we see ourselves in a position where we're watching everything just go to pot. Story here from Fox. Israel says it killed a top Hamas military commander, Mohammed Daif. Israeli Defense Forces said it launched a strike in Gaza. This story came out yesterday. Launched a strike in Gaza while targeting two top Hamas leaders. So basically, this happened a couple weeks ago. We're just getting the word that a major leader in Hamas in Gaza was taken out. He was considered to be the top military commander of Hamas. He was also considered to be the architect of the strike in October, the coordinated strikes in Israel that killed so many. They call him the Osama bin Laden of Gaza. He was eliminated 2 weeks ago. Israeli Defense Force Minister Yoav Gallant said this is a significant milestone in the process of dismantling Hamas. Now, that's being announced, right? At the same time, you're also hearing that Israel on Tuesday said that it killed Fuad Shukir, a top Hezbollah commander. Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon. And then, on Wednesday, Hamas political leader Ismail Haniyeh was reportedly assassinated while he was in Iran. In Iran. And then, last week, you had Israel striking targets in Yemen, 1,000 miles from its border, because the Houthis had launched drone attacks all the way over to Israel. And now you have this story here from Newsmax. Newsmax.com, Dateline 2 days ago, Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has ordered Iran to strike Israel directly in retaliation for the killing in Tehran of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. Let me get this straight. Hezbollah kills a dozen innocent children on a soccer field. Hezbollah's commander goes to Iran for a vacation. He's there for a big celebration day. Suddenly he dies on Iranian soil. Why was he there in the first place? Well, he can go wherever he wants to. It's free. Is it really? Is that what we're saying? He died. You don't think that sends a signal? Iran is now saying, their supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is now saying he is authorizing the government to strike Israel directly. They just did about a month ago. Remember that? They tried. They failed miserably. But they launched a major rocket attack from Iran to Israel. That was nation to nation. That was not a proxy. That was not a group of radicals. That was not just a terrorists hiding among the population. No, that was a nation striking at a nation. The strike on Haniyeh most recently was widely assumed to have been carried out by Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government has made no claim of responsibility. By the way, gotta love the Israelis. They don't often feel the need to have to crow on the world stage. Sometimes they do, but a lot of times what happens, they'll just, wow, really? That happened? We blame you, Israel. You blame us? Huh. Okay. Wow. I mean, they're just like good on you, man. No credit needed. We just took out somebody and did some business. This is significant. And we're in a place right now where the war drums are beating, y'all. We cannot continue to operate from a position of weakness. And yet right now, it's the Biden-Harris administration, and Kamala Harris wants it to be the Harris administration. And if you don't think it's going to get worse because of, I mean, listen, the word salad that she gave us on the tarmac that I'll play for you in a little bit, there is no reason for bad guys to ever have any concern about what's going to happen with Kamala Harris in charge. They'll know that the same organization that did the Afghanistan debacle pullout, the same organization that gave billions of dollars to Iran just to make them happy, the same organization that abandoned the Abraham Accords, the same organization that has allowed unrest to foment and is not allowing. By the way, I should have found the audio on this. General Jack Keane yesterday, and I love his commentary, but General Jack Keane said that his understanding is that the CENTCOM commander has been requesting the Biden-Harris administration allow them to strike the Houthis directly, and they're being told no. Why? They shoot rockets and drones at our shipping, but we can't do anything about it. Well, when you operate from a position of strength, or, you know, that doesn't happen. When you operate from the position of weakness that we're in right now, bad guys just keep doing more. All right, we're going to switch gears here momentarily. We'll come back from the next break, and I'll be moving to what I'm calling the art of the deal. So, yeah, that was the name of Trump's book. Tongue-in-cheek here. I'm enjoying using it. But we'll take text messages when I get back, and then I'm going to jump into the art of the deal because we just got a bunch of, I say a bunch, we got four Americans back who had been held in Russia. And I look at the fact that they came back, and I want to remind you all, we are allowed to rejoice. We are. We're allowed to rejoice and question all at the same time. We're allowed to say, that's cool, but what was the price? And then we're allowed to say, why'd you give up that much? Well, we had to get them back. Okay, I'm glad they're back. But you gave back assassins and spies and criminals? Really? 24 of them? Yeah, that's where we are. All right, Big Rig, take me to a break, brother. We'll do the break right now. We'll come right back. I'll get caught up on a ton of text messages and then move into Dipper number two, Art of the Deal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Giving you all the truth you could sling onto a bumper sticker. I got a bunch of text messages. Let me catch up on some of those. Tammy from Huntsville. Biden gave 24 evil terrorists for three. Every day he tells the world America's weak and has no power and no beliefs. Pray for America. Yeah, Tammy, I agree. By the way, a slight correction on the numbers. Let me make sure I'm clear. He gave up 24 known criminals, terrorists, spies, assassins for four Americans and apparently about eight German nationals, I believe. So Germany and America apparently collaborated on this. Still, it's pretty lopsided. Kyle from Madison sent me a link. He says the 9/11 terrorists may have been allowed to get their plea deal to assist the current administration with sectors of the Michigan vote. What? Okay, I'll check out that later on. He sends me a link to somebody on Twitter. Bruce from Springville says under the Geneva Convention, a terrorist can be considered either a spy or a saboteur. POW status does not apply. All of them should be legally executed. I agree. I mean, there's no Geneva Convention here for them. They're being treated like, you know, somebody, you know, captured on the streets of Chicago or something. I mean, you know, for crimes. Mike from Huntsville says the Democrats impeached President Trump for just the allegation of withholding aid to Ukraine. Remember that? Yes, I do. Great point. So here we are. Now what they're saying is he withheld aid, or he threatened to withhold aid to get something political to benefit his campaign. That's what they're saying. That's what they said. But I look at this and go, there's no way in the world that what we're looking at right now is not anything but the Biden-Harris on Israel, the Biden-Harris administration slow rolling because they're afraid of angering their Democrat base right now. Thomas from Athens, This week, all caps, this week administration and the 9/11 prisoners supposedly wanted to be executed so these jihadist Islamists get a free pass from Allah to paradise for themselves and many of their family members. But what can be worse than death for their belief system? If they are held in the dark, solitary cell with loud, offensive music and fed pork and cold water spray. Torture? Not undeserved. Widely spread news and images of that treatment might dissuade a few other Islamists. Yeah, but they're not going to do that. They're not. Any gainful intelligence is gone, by the way, now. They're just criminals still being detained. They are thugs on the world stage. And they're living off the American tax dollar right now. Navy fell from Athens says, apparently, sir, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story is the White House said they didn't know about the plea bargain. It was handled by the DOD. That better not be true. If they're going to try and say, well, we didn't approve that, well, then repeal it right now because the authority wasn't granted, unless the authority had been granted to do it, and then you just wanted to wash your hands of it. So Navy Phil, I would be surprised to hear they're actually saying that out loud. Let me know if you got something that says that for me, and I'll take a look. Tim from Madison says, okay, he's talking about the boxer in the Olympics. Says, hyperandrogenism is the disorder the previous person referred to. But I totally agree with you on the trans issues. Our enemies surely find us weak, distracted, and eyes wide shut. Bless you for all you do. Right side leads the way. Hua. Tim, thank you. And Hua back to you, man. Thanks for your service. Sam from Priceville says, which do you think made the terrorists happier? General Mattis retiring or Kamala being the Democrat nominee? Well, since Mattis is in the previous administration, listen, right now they're working with what they got, and they love the idea of Kamala being the nominee. Ken from Rimlap, Alabama. Rimlap says, Phil, I don't blame the male boxer as much as I blame the Olympic officials. Yeah, for letting it happen. Who are the people, and where are they from? How did we get here? Great question. And then JD from Hartsel says, there are pictures of Kamala's childhood as a little girl. I guess what he's saying is she claims to be, you know, whatever she needs to be at any given time. Is she Jamaican today? Is she black? Is she Indian? Anyway, she's a woman of color. That way she can be everything, I guess. And the last one, Becky from Shelby County says, Karine Jean-Pierre said the White House was not involved in the terrorist plea deal. Listen, you know what? That would be one of the most epic buck passings of all time if they're going to say, oh, we didn't know what happens. The left hand didn't talk to the right hand in our administration. But then again, we are talking about the same DOD where the Secretary of Defense went AWOL for 5 days in the hospital and the Biden administration didn't even know he was sick. I mean, that's who we're talking about, right? You know what? They keep dropping in while I'm talking. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, we can't execute the Gitmo detainees because anyone knows somebody may have to trade them one day for our hostages, which would be very upsetting to everyone that died in 9/11. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right, listen, we got plenty on tap right now. Okay. We're going to come back in. Don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have, Emily, Jones from Moms for Liberty and Lee from Huntsville, both going to be in studio with us. And we'll have a raucous time there talking about things like that happened at the Olympics and the war on women around the nation. But coming up here in a minute, I'm going to jump into the art of the deal. And I want to reaffirm something. If you're on social media right now and you want to comment on the fact that we just had some Americans return home who had been held hostage and wrongfully convicted. I mean, one was a reporter. I mean, right now, we just gave back an actual assassin, a Russian assassin. But nonetheless, we're looking at innocent Americans were being held, and they were being used as a bargaining chip. And if you're on social media and you're commenting on this, just be aware that one of the first things that's going to happen, how dare you question, aren't you, could you just please set aside politics for a minute and oh, by the way, just rejoice for a minute that they're home. I want to reaffirm something. You're allowed to do both. You are. Because the people with a brain recognize that you can walk and chew gum at the same time. The people with a brain know that there's nothing wrong with us going, man, I'm glad they're home. How much did that cost? You're allowed to do that. And there's nothing wrong with it. So just first of all, just be ready to give it right back to them and say flat out, I am happy that they're home. We are all happy that they're home. I also recognize that the way the Biden-Harris administration structured this deal was not necessarily well played. So just be prepared for the moment because you're going to need it. All right, listen, we got this break coming up, and I'll be right back momentarily. And I gotta ask, how many of y'all are willing to go out there and say, you know what? I like the fact that they're home, but I'm still questioning. Listen, the day we stop questioning is the day they start really getting away with stuff. I mean, if you think that for a second that they'll just go, oh, no one cares anymore, let's stop doing it's. They'll do more. Marie from Madison just chimed in and says, Phil, I heard the same thing. Someone just texted you that the Biden administration was claiming it was the DOD that orchestrated that plea deal. They didn't have anything to do with it. And the Navy Phil from Athens is sending me a link to it on Breitbart. Wow. All right. That adds a whole new wrinkle, you guys. Goodness. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.